The World Cup Daily Podcast from William Hill.
Sensacional! Fantástico! Espetacular o gol do Neymar!
All the latest betting news and tips from our team of experts in Brazil and the UK. Check out all of our audio at williamhill.com/podcast. Subscribe via iTunes or browse our channel on audioboo.fm. William Hill, the home of World Cup betting.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's World Cup podcast. There are, of course, just two games left of the World Cup 2014, the third place playoff between Brazil and Holland, and, of course, the final between Germany and Argentina. My name is Sam Norris, and I'm delighted to be joined on the line from Brazil by South American football expert Tim Vickery. How are you today, Tim?
Yeah, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not bad. It's been a fantastic World Cup, really. It's going to be sad to see it go, I guess. Best World Cup in recent years for you?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think the knockout games have been quite good enough. And if you look at the quarterfinals and the semi-finals, that's six games, we only had goals from open play in two of those games. You know, the only game from in the quarterfinals that had a goal from open play was Argentina-Belgium. And then, of course, the extraordinary Germany-Brazil semi-final. So, all right, it's been a very good World Cup. But I think I would still take 1986. Well, we've still got a couple of games to maybe switch the balance, although unfortunately I think one of them is pretty much of an irrelevance. And I think all of the players concerned would rather be elsewhere.
Yeah, of course. I'd have to agree with you there. It's been a rather cagey knockout stage. And you mentioned the third place playoff there. We'll move to that now. Obviously, this is the game that traditionally nobody wants to play in. But perhaps here we've got two teams that really, really don't want to be involved this year. Van Gaal's been verbal about his dislike for the game. And Brazil, I don't think I've ever seen a team look so dejected after a game of football, Tim. I mean, what's their mindset going to be going into this game?
I think maybe they have an advantage here because they kind of have to show up. You know, their pride will have been, you know, and it's off the scale of the vocabulary, really, the way that their pride will have been affected. And so in front of their own fans, they're going to want to do something. It's not going to take the taste away. Nothing can ever take the taste away of the 7-1 thrashing. But just to show that they're not that they're better than that. So I think of the two teams, Brazil will be much, much the more motivated. And it could even be that for some of those players, actually, you know, the place that they'd rather be is on a football field, you know, with a chance to do something about it, getting straight back on the bicycle. So maybe, you know, the balance tips Brazil's way in this game.
You mentioned it there. I know in the last podcast that you recorded with us, you did actually back Germany to go through to the final. Probably not such an emphatic scoreline. Can you give any reason for that capitulation, really, from Brazil in the semi-finals?
Well, it was extraordinary, wasn't it? I mean, if you look at the team Brazil picked, it was a very confident team.
Yeah.
Very, very attacking team. I couldn't believe it when I saw that Bernard was in. I thought, well, great, we're going to have a game, at least. You know, it's not going to be cautious like the quarterfinals were. You know, they're buoyed up by the emotion of the national anthem. They started off very confidently, very gung-ho, in fact, really going at the Germans. But the test of a team is always when it goes a goal down. And from the moment that they gave away a very, very silly goal, you saw that confidence, it wasn't really based on very much. And, well, I don't think I've ever seen a big team collapse in the way that they collapsed over the next few minutes. We always knew that the absence of Thiago Silva was going to be significant for that game because he really does hold the defensive unit together. We were looking for a big performance from David Luiz, and he had to step up. He had to show defensive discipline. In fact, I thought he was absolutely deplorable, not just in like defensive mistakes, but in his whole approach to the game. You know, because he's got to do the defending. He can't do the death or glory stuff. You know, you haven't got Thiago Silva there. You haven't got the captain and defensive organiser. It means that he's just got to play it safe. He's got to do the defending. And he didn't want to do the defending. He wanted a charge. He was running around as if his backside was on fire. A terrible, terrible performance. What happened to Fernandinho in front of him, I still can't understand. Because we know that he's a good player. He's not a world beater. But he's a very, very useful player. And he wasn't useful at all for that first half. It was an extraordinary collapse of a team that was, from that first goal, they were just pricked like a balloon. And they seemed, all of that confidence that they'd started with, I think, was revealed as hubris. I think deep down, it was clear that they didn't really believe that they could play their way back into the game. They had 18 minutes to do so after they conceded that goal. There's no panic. Play your way back into the game. But clearly, the confidence that they'd started with was false confidence, which was punctured. And that they had no real faith in their ability to get back into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And their opponents, the Dutch, what have you made of them this tournament? Because they were fairly underwhelming, it's fair to say, against Costa Rica in the quarters. Underwhelming again, maybe against Argentina, although granted, up against a much better side in the semis. Have they impressed you this tournament?
No, not really. I thought we got the right result in the semi-final. It was a bad game.
Yeah.
It was a poor game. I was worried before about it being cautious and attrition. It was less attrition than I'd feared, but more cautious than I'd feared. Come the end, I was desperate for Argentina to get through, not only because it would give us a Europe-South America final, which I think was necessary, but also how can you have a team in the World Cup final who've just played two lots of 120 minutes without scoring a single goal?
Yeah.
No, I haven't been particularly impressed. And like, if you're going to lose, let's lose like Holland, please. I wonder a little bit about Louis van Gaal, to be honest. We know he's got an ego even bigger than his extraordinary sized head. all right, he's very bright, and made this change and that change, and some of them have been brilliant. And he clearly, if it was going to go the 120, he was going to need his goalkeeper again, Krul, to come on for the penalty shootout. It's worked once. You're undermined if you don't do it again. He picked a team there with De Jong and Van Persie, who I think he realised weren't going to go the 120. That only gives him one substitution. And he used that at half-time because Argentina were better. And Argentina were getting into the space around the back three, especially down there right the Holland left, and Martin Zindi was being exposed there behind Blind, and he took Martin Zindi off. And I think at that point you kind of thought, well, hang on, he's used that substitution, he's not going to be able to bring on his goalkeeper for the 120 for the penalties. If you can't do that, go on, try and win it, please. I just couldn't understand at all what he was doing. If he's got himself in a situation where he can't bring on his keeper for the penalty shootout, you think you might well lose the penalty shootout, then go and try and win it before penalties, please. And you just wonder, from the point of view of Manchester United players, how that declaration after the game, when he revealed that two of his players had refused to take the first penalty, how has that declaration gone down in a Man United dressing room? Hang on a minute. Here's a fella who won't take responsibility. Here's a fella who, this is something inside the group, which should stay inside the group, which has been leaked out because Van Gaal doesn't want to take responsibility for the defeat. It seems with Van Gaal, it's the philosophy of I won, we drew, you lost. He's done some very clever things in this tournament, but on balance, I don't think he's come out of it particularly well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And no matter what happens, good or bad, it's certainly going to be an interesting season for Louis van Gaal at Man United. Just before we move on to the final, you're taking Brazil to beat Holland in the third place playoff. If I could tie you down for a correct score, where would you be looking?
2-1. 2-1 Brazil.
2-1 Brazil is available at 8-1 with William Hill. We'll move on to the final then. Germany-Argentina, of course. One side through their semi-final in emphatic fashion. One side, again, sort of trundled through. Have we got the best two teams in the final, do you think, Tim?
Well, I think we probably have. Germany, I think that's beyond discussion.
Yeah.
Argentina, well, they've won all their games, with the exception of the semi-final, that obviously went to penalties. But they've never fired on all cylinders, but they did score the only goal that we saw from open play in all of the quarterfinals. So I think you would have to conclude that yes. The great thing about this final, I think, as well as it being draped in history, with the finals of 86 and 90, the quarterfinals in the last two World Cups, is that I think whatever happens, we've got a great narrative. Because on the one hand, if Germany win it, and Germany are clearly favourites, I think, I think it will be one of the greatest World Cup wins in the tournament's history. Last year, Germans, the former striker, their technical director, Oliver Bierhoff, he came over scouting on the Confederations Cup, and his conclusion was, it's going to be very, very hard for a European team to win over here. Now, he said that before Germany got a terrible draw. You know, not only were they in a very difficult group, but the conditions in which their games were played were very, very tough indeed. 1 o'clock kickoffs in a steaming northeast. Then their second round match, they have to go right down the other end of the country to the cold winter of Porto Alegre. No wonder that they had to suffer with a bit of a flu epidemic there, with the differences in temperature and so on. So they've done it the hard way, and they're now one game away from what I think would be a truly remarkable World Cup win up there, and maybe even better, depending on how they do it, if they do it, with Brazil winning in Sweden in 1958, the only time a South American team has won in Europe. So you've got that on the one side. On the other hand, if Argentina do it, well, they'll have done it against the odds now, because we see Germany as clear favourites. They'll have done it with a day's less rest after having gone into extra time against an opponent who only had to play for half an hour in their own semi-final. It will mean, I think, that Lionel Messi really steps up to the plate and delivers something very special, because it's hard to see how Argentina can win without it. So I think that's part of the greatness of this game. Whatever happens, you know, there's a sensational storyline at the end of it.
You mentioned Messi there. Is it just a case of Germany really just need to mark him out of the game? I'm not suggesting Argentina are completely a one-man team, but do you think if they can neutralise that threat, it's going to be a lot easier for them?
Oh, clearly. And the Germans are clever. He might get a little bit more space than he had in some of the other games, because almost all of Argentina's opponents have been very, very cautious. You know, they've worried a lot about him. All right, Argentina, a couple of days to get Di Maria fit, also to try and get Sergio Aguero somewhere close to fitness, because he looks so far short at the moment. You know, you just hope for the purpose of the game that he's going to turn up and give Messi something to combine with. If Messi doesn't really turn up, it's very difficult to imagine how Argentina can do it. You can see from Argentina, they've improved defensively during the tournament. You know, there's been lots of tactical shifting going on. They came in with a very open 4-3-3 that the coach was worried about. And in fact, he was so worried about it, he didn't do it in the first half of the first game against Bosnia. And then they were so appalling in that half that he had to revert to the very open 4-3-3. But that open 4-3-3 was dependent on having the stars. And then one by one, the stars have got injured. And so the coach, Sabella, has inched towards something I think he probably wanted to do all along, which was to have a more compact team that defended a little bit better. There are some fairly ordinary players in there. And also, I'm not sure they're particularly great physically. Against Holland, you know, they were making progress outside the Dutch back three, and there are some crosses coming in. Have a look to see how many Argentina players there were in the box. Very, very few. You know, they just don't get up there. There's a coach over here in Brazil who divides the pitch into three zones: the zone of defence, the zone of elaboration, and the zone of courage, he calls it. How many players will you put in the zone of courage? In other words, the opposition's last 30 metres. And in the case of Argentina, it's often very, very few indeed. So if you don't have, if Di Maria and Aguero are not ready to perform anything like to their potential, and if you don't have a team that's particularly physically powerful, it has to come from Lionel Messi is going to have to rub his magic lamp and come up with something really extraordinary.
So obviously we've got Thomas Muller, who's got 5 goals, probably the only man realistically who could overtake James Rodriguez for the Golden Boot. Messi would require a hat-trick to do so. Do you think the goals will be coming from Muller?
Well, it's difficult to say with him, isn't it? Because he's so versatile. I did a TV thing with Rio Ferdinand the other day, and he said, you know, you're in the tunnel before the game and you're sizing players up, and you look at Muller and there's nothing there. You know, you're not going to be scared of him. I told him a story shortly before the last World Cup, a couple of months before, Argentina played a friendly against Germany. And Diego Maradona, who was coaching Argentina at the time, in the tunnel beforehand, he thought Thomas Muller was a ball boy. He didn't realise he was going to be playing for the opposition. But he's just so versatile, isn't he? And the movement is so good. So he can be contributing, kind of setting up the play as well as scoring the goals. Be interesting to see if the Argentina defensive line can cope better with that movement than Brazil's defensive line did. I mean, if you look at most of the goals that Germany actually scored against Brazil, Brazil's defence is actually there. They've got, you know, it's not that the ball is played behind Brazil's defensive line, and you know, if you look at the photo of the goal, there's loads of yellow shirts there, but they just couldn't cope with the movement, and they defended extremely badly. You have to think that Argentina, who defended pretty well, I think, in the last couple of games, will do a little bit better than that. So, you know, Muller is just one of many threats that Germany bring to the dance.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a very, very talented side, that's for sure. Yeah, just before we wrap it up then, a score prediction for the World Cup final.
I think I'm going to go with another 2-1. It's not very bold. Yeah, I was going to say 2-0 Germany. But just so everyone can go away happy.
Yeah.
Let's have a fantastic goal from Messi, but not enough to beat the Germans. So Germany 2, Argentina 1.
Okay, there you go. And 2-0 and 2-1, incidentally, is 9-1 the pair. Thank you very much for joining me on this World Cup podcast, Tim. Remember, you can catch all of the action from the third place playoff and the World Cup final covered on William Hill's In Play Radio, where we'll have every betting angle covered. In the meantime, my name's been Sam Norris. Thanks ever so much for joining me on the podcast today, Tim, and I hope you enjoy the final two matches.
Cheers, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.